Imagine a pit hidden away in the shadows of time, where the very earth seems to tremble with the weight of its gruesome past. This isn't just any pit, it's a place where the echoes of the suffering and the despair still reverberate through the ages, and the harrowing tales of those who found themselves ensnared within the sinister grasp. What secrets lie beneath the blood-soaked walls? Join the Conspiracy Outpost as we start peeling back the layers of darkness to reveal its past. I'm your host, Casey.
And I'm Joe and Poco. That name's going to come back later in this. Well, that's coming back later. All right.
So this one was what's it called? Our Northern California expert on the topic, Joseph, is gonna take it away. He's been studying the Hoosic Tunnel for what is it now, like 10 years, and so he's he's got all the information for us.
More like 3.5 hours at most, and that was me spiraling out into other shit, looking up stuff. I actually seen an interesting topic, a different tunnel for shit.
It was a tunnel.
There's another fucking thing called the something tunnel that's claimed a bunch of lives that we should fucking talk about too sometime. Maybe for a Patreon episode. I forget what it's called. I screenshotted the name of it. That wasn't a dramatic pause. I just wanted to slam down the rest of that beer.
You could hear it in the recording, so
I've had a very unproductive weekend. Got some appointments done and some shopping, but aside from personal growth, nothing. So, the Hoosic?
Hoosic, yeah.
Okay. Ooh. So the Hoosic Tunnel, also known as the Bloody Pit, is a 5-mile-long railroad tube that cuts underneath the Hoosic Range. For those of you that don't know what the Hoosic Range is, it's a mountain range in western Massachusetts and southern Vermont, and is a part of the larger Appalachian Mountain System. There are those that believe the word Hoosic means forbidden, but it's actually an Algonquin, I can't say the word, meaning place of stones. Though BerkshireEagle.com states that the word means place of the kettle, according to them, whose, means pot or kettle, and the endings ack, uck, or ick are locating suffixes meaning place of, in many Algonquian languages. I don't know, I can't say that. Knowledge is power. So, I don't know. Just thought I'd just add that second part in there.
One of them, one of the names you said was the Forbidden One. Well, that was from the natives that were in that area.
Isn't it the Mohawk or something? I think the Algonquian or whatever the fuck the word is like just a general thing of like the tongue in a certain area. I could be wrong of native people. Because
I know, like, I wrote it down somewhere, but I don't know where in my notes I wrote it. But I think you're right.
My ability to sink in knowledge is as good as my pronunciation skills. We all seen that historically in this podcast. So the Hoosic Tunnel was a project. A project began by Alva Crocker. Is that how you say that name? Alva? Alva? I don't know. No relation to the fictional character and brand name Betty Crocker, or formerly known Chris Crocker, now Kara Cunningham, the old Leave Britney Alone YouTuber. That was the Leave Britney Alone. Chris Crocker.
Yeah, I remember.
That's what I'm talking about. I was taking notes and started spiraling out into shit because I'm like, Why is the name Crocker sound not Betty Crocker, but there was somebody else? And it's like, oh, Chris Crocker. And it's like, oh, I didn't know they were transgender. And then, oh, figured out this little fun fucking ditty. This motherfucker did porn for a bit, or still does. But she has like an OnlyFans now. Went from defending Britney Spears to getting speared on camera.
Nice, I'd watch.
I'd watch, yeah. Leave Britney alone! So, Alva Crocker was a Massachusetts paper mill owner who received a state charter for the Troy and Greenfield Railroad in 1848. The idea was to make a railroad that traveled through northwestern Massachusetts, creating an alternative to the Western Railroad, a railroad that ran across the middle of the state instead of just going right through the mountain, like right through that bad boy. In order to make this railway a reality, they would have to dig a 4¾-mile long tunnel through the Hoosick Mountains. Fuck, dude, I keep fucking this up. The eastern terminus would be at the town of Florida, and the western at North Adams. So there's a town called Florida, and I was gonna like look at that, but then I kept fucking looking at weird shit the entire time, so. I'm not talking about the aforementioned person, but
there's also Las Vegas in New Mexico too. So
that's so fucking weird. Which one came first?
The rabbit, or not the rabbit? As you said, the rabbit or the egg?
The rabbit or the egg? they began construction in 1855, and it took over 20 years to complete it. The Hoosick Tunnel took a lot of time, money, and blood to complete. Emphasis on the blood part. Emphasize on the blood part.
Blood, sweat, and tears.
Nearly 200 workers died building the John Cusack Tunnel. I wrote it like that because I was thinking of Hoosack. Deaths due to shitty tech, the obviously unsafe conditions, noxious, volatile, and flammable gases, and highly unstable explosives. Type of shit that would get OSHA harder than P. Diddy when he unconsensually grabbed music producer Rodney Jones Jr.'s genitals. That was the thing. Yeah, that's one of the things Rodney Jones Jr. I accused him of doing. He touched his genitals and without consent, and then coerced him into sleeping. And this is a lot of people that accuse him. Coerced him and sleeping with sex workers or some shit like that. So it was like he's doing weird shit to people and then convincing them to go fuck sex workers while he watches. It's a weird fucking thing to do.
And they just do it. I guess.
Yeah, I guess. speaking of which, in that song, that Biggie song, What's Beef? I don't know. I was just thinking, like, when he says the line about kids being raped and thrown over a bridge, is that, like, P. Diddy who greenlit that? He's just like, yeah, that's good. Or did he, like, write it for him, and Biggie's like, no, P. And P. Diddy was like, first off, you do as you're told. Secondly, don't call me P. And then Biggie's like, sorry, Puff Daddy.
You kind of sound like Yogi the Bear.
Oh, did I?
Picnic baskets. Hey, boo-boo. What do you say we get some picnic baskets and maybe sniff the sheriff's underwear?
Well, I don't know, Boogie. I don't know, Yogi. I don't think that's a good idea.
Well, what do you mean? What's he going to do? Anybody ever notice I sound like Fred from I sound like Barney from the Flintstones.
Same IQ.
Oh, oh God, stop. We shouldn't be doing this.
Shh, be quiet. Don't make me have to snuff you. Oh God. smells like pine trees and cheese puffs, don't you think, boo boo?
Let's just go. Okay. Anyways, This is where the tunnel got its name, the Bloody Pit. One particular incident happened on the afternoon of March 20th, 1865. Ned Brinkman, Billy Nash, and Ringo Kelly, three explosive experts, decided they were going to speed up their heavy workload by using nitroglycerin. This was the same year nitroglycerin was introduced to the good old U.S. of A. The Hoosick Tunneliers would be one of the first to try a crack at it, at this magnificent little firecracker.
Three places. Before you get into that.
No, do you have a thing?
Just about the nitroglycerin thing.
I'm sure I skipped a lot of shit along the way with it.
Oh, no, you're good. This endeavor to make this tunnel would consume so much nitroglycerin that a factory is built near the West Portal to produce it over the years. And the factory is long gone, but there are still several barrels of nitro that are lost somewhere in the Berkshire woods. Dun dun dun.
Oh shit, really? They're just like fucking lost out there? God damn, dude, all it takes is fucking one unlucky fire going out there and just bang.
Well, not even that. Nitroglycerin's so like touchy. It's the shit that they put in dynamites, right? That's the same shit.
Think so? I'm not sure. I was reading that it was used in something else, but then I got distracted.
Yeah, okay, yeah, so I just wanted to make sure I was right. So, if that's just out there, because it'll sweat and whatever, and, like, you'd think that it'll be, like, you can carry, it'll be fine, and then just out of nowhere, it'll just explode on you. As the shit will activate.
That's fucking crazy.
But that's what happened to a lot of the miners because nobody knew the do's and don'ts of working with the stuff. So a lot of accidental premature explosions happened, which either blew apart anyone in the vicinity or pulverized them underneath the mountain debris.
Yeah, dude, and my ass would have quit the first day somebody fucking spontaneously combusted. Like, I'm like, nope. Because even like, and maybe not even that, but then after the second time that it happens, it's like, fuck no, dude. This is just happening at random. Like, I'm not doing this. Y'all can fuck yourselves. But the people that continued on doing it, freak accident. 200 people just fucking die of a bunch of different shit, but.
Yeah, so John Velsor, he was the new foreman at the nitroglycerin factory, and he was blown to smithereens. And the newspapers at the time said he was blown to atoms when around 800 pounds of nitroglycerin erupted in December of 1870. Not a single trace of the man's body was ever found.
That's insane.
Yep, so that's all I had for the nitroglycerin thing.
Okay, so the three of these. No, you're good. I mean, I didn't get any of that shit. That's what I was. It's like that. That's crazy. The three placed the charge and went towards their safety bunker. Well, at least Ringo Kelly did. This motherfucker set off the charge before the other two could even make it to the safety bunker. Brinkman and Nash were buried alive under the rocks. Soon after, Ringo Kelly left and helped form the Beatles. No, I'm just kidding.
I was going to say, like, when I was reading it, because I was reading the guys' names, and I didn't know who the perpetrator was yet, you know? I had the guys' names at this point. And I read the name Ringo. I was like, that seems like a guy who's up to no good. I was like, he's probably the son of a bitch that did it.
That's what I thought, too. I was like, this guy's going to stand out. That's what I was thinking.
Yankees.
He disappeared without a trace until March 30th, 1866, when they found his body 2 miles inside of the tunnel. It said that his body was found at the exact spot where Brinkman and Nash met their end.
That happened a year later, too.
Was that what it was, a year later?
Yeah.
I might have wrote, like, fucking dates weirdly. I don't know if I
said that. No, because it was Because he collapsed the tunnel. Oh, so it happened on the 65. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So it happened on like the anniversary of it was where fucking okay, that makes sense. Deputy,
yeah, that threw me off when I read it too, because it said 66, and I was like, oh shit, is that the wrong day? And I was like, did I write the wrong date down originally? And then I was like, oh no, it's a year later.
Okay. Deputy Sheriff Charles F. Gibson estimated that he was murdered between midnight and 3:30 a.m. that morning and was strangled to death. They never found the murderer. Me, personally, I think it was a disgruntled coworker slash lover Nash had taken on. They were playing a little game miners like to call tuning the tunnel snakes. A revenge plot. Many of their coworkers believed that it was in fact Brinkman and Nash's ghost who had murdered him, seeking revenge beyond the grave and getting back at him for not letting them see the wicked explosion on the other side of it. Not even mad about dying, they just, yeah. Due to this creepy construction conjured campfire story, many walked off the site deeming it haunted. Did I miss anything that you might have got between that?
Now, I had a penis joke that I've written out, but I don't know where it was.
Oh shit!
And I don't want to lose the joke.
I got a floppy dick joke somewhere. Here. Let me get it up. Oh fuck!
I don't know where it's at, but I know I wrote it down because it's like, cause I never pre-write jokes, but I wrote that one down, and I was like, oh, that's a good one.
I only pre-write shit if it sounds like it's going to come up fucking naturally, and then the rest will just make fucking in between stuff. Also, oh shit, I turned this into a fucking... When I converted this into the doc thing, it went from 14 pages to 17. Because I was doing it on notes. Did you find that dick joke? It's a hidden Easter egg. Instead of a hidden Easter egg, it's a hidden Easter peg. Fucking Pegasus with that thing.
Did you say that they how they were doing the tunnel digging? Where'd you leave off at? Sorry, I just spaced where we were even at. So,
oh, I was talking about Nash
being dead.
Holy shit, dude! Nash Brinkman and fucking Ringo. I almost said Bigger Nick instead of Brinkman. Going to our fucking guest we had recently. I don't know why. Because it sounds like a made-up name. I was talking about their little explosive venture. I mean, people thought that he did it on purpose. Like, blew them the fuck up on purpose just to do it. Maybe he did. Or he was that fucking stupid. Like, you shouldn't have the Three Stooges as explosive experts, because maybe they're always doing the weird shit like that. Meh, meh. So in 1868, Paul Travers, a mechanical engineer and cavalry officer during the Civil War, was tasked with touring the construction site by Mr. Dunn of the construction company. The workers were complaining about hearing a man crying in agony after sundown, and even though Mr. Dunn believed it to be wind hitting the mountains, he called in Travers. On September 8th, both Travers and Dunn witnessed the noises in question. Travers wrote about it in a letter to a sister, reading, "Dunn and I entered the tunnel at exactly 9 p.m. We traveled about 2 miles into the shaft, and we stopped to listen. As we stood there in the cold silence, we both heard what truly sounded like a man groaning out in pain. As you know, I have heard the same sound many times during the war. Yet we turned up our wicks on our lamps. There were no other human beings in the shaft except Mr. Dunn and myself. I admit I haven't been this frightened since Shiloh? I don't know. Mr. Dunn agreed that it wasn't the wind we heard. Perhaps Nash and Brinkman. I wonder." Fucked that up a little bit there. Well, that's a little spooky, right? On October 17th, there was a gas explosion that blew... But do you have anything to add to any of that? I don't want to go over...
No,
Pat,
go ahead.
Thing, if you have any extra shit. On October
7th. I think my joke had something to do with the shaft, though, but I don't remember.
Yeah, the shaft shit was too. I keep wanting to laugh like a fucking child every time the word shaft is brought up. On October 17th, there was a gas explosion that blew apart the water pumping station on the surface, and 13 miners were killed when debris filled the central tunnel where they were working.
Why were there 13 children in there?
Did you say 13 children?
Yeah.
Oh, miners. According to the North Adams transcript, a miner named Mallory was lowered in a bucket into the shaft. It was a miner and shaft shouldn't be in the same sentence.
Mallory was lowered in the shaft.
The miner named Mallory was lowered into a in a bucket into the shaft.
I looked at a picture of this bucket. It's a pretty big bucket. Like, yeah, I was.
Yeah, there's
like,
so many times these buckets keep getting brought up. And it's kind of hilarious if you think of a tiny bucket, but
it's like a hot air balloon bucket, like that kind of big.
Like enough to not that somebody's ass is in the bucket, hilarious, and their legs are just sticking, dangling out, and they're going down, holding the rope, like don't go too fast. So Mallory was lowered into the shaft. And was told to look for signs of survivors. When raised to the surface after a few minutes in the pit, they found him to be nearly unconscious from the fumes inside. Which I find is hilarious that they just lowered him into this. There's hella fumes going and shit. And in my head, it's like, not too fast. He's just like going down there. He comes back up like, ugh. All he was able to mutter was, no hope. With the pumping station gone, the 538-foot shaft filled with water and bodies of the deceased workers began to rise to the top of it. It took over a year to find all of their bodies. All of the corpses. Oh, yeah, shit, that is a big... Damn, that thing looks like a fucking cooking pot. I was thinking...
Man, it's not super big, but...
That's still fucking big enough. There's I didn't
like
know it was made...
in that thing, though.
They are, and they're all partying, and probably all those guys but one died.
The one guy that did it. He's on top.
Damn, the bucket comes into play later, too. Just didn't want to fucking talk about it right out the gate. But actually, you know what? We can, because actually this... I have, like, I was reading... They have a thing of all the deaths, right?
Uh-huh.
And I just wrote down some of the ones that were funny, but a lot of people died from these. And I only wrote down a couple of names. But there was John Callahan, William Dunn, John Ferns. It's funny and it's fucked up. But yeah, these guys and others either died or were injured by an explosion sparked by lightning.
Damn.
Yeah, it was like lightning struck and like murdered a lot of these guys and injured them. That shit's insane. William Hickey died from a flying stone from an explosion. There, I think there was a couple of those. That would suck. You just mind your own fucking business, and all of a sudden a fucking stone goes flying. Just fucking crushes your head in. Leonard McCallan died from from falling off of a wagon. That's
like
embarrassing.
The drinking wagon or like a horse wagon?
Like a horse wagon, I think. James Millett was killed by a descending bucket.
He died of alcohol poisoning.
Yeah, he was like really bad drinker, heavy. He used to beat his wife, don't be sad. All these guys probably did. James Millett was killed by a descending bucket. So in my head, it was just a little bucket came flying down and fucking bashed him in the head. But then thinking about it, I was like, it had to have been a giant-ass bucket, but you just showed me it looks like a fucking giant steel pot. That you would cook shit in, that giant bucket people go into fucking came down and crashed on him and killed him. That's insane. And then the last one I had for that list of these deaths was Wilson Oren, who was struck by an elevator and killed. Where the fuck is the elevator at in this thing? They had an elevator? Why are they still using the bucket? But these all range in years. So because, I mean, it took 20 years to do this shit.
Yeah, I got some
I still have some shit for the ghost shit too, but I just went down to the bottom of the list. Do you have anything too?
Yeah, I was gonna say I got some murder events that happened, but I got more details than you do.
Oh,
did you say? Did you talk about Frank Webster?
Oh, I don't think I had the Frank.
I don't think I had the Frank Webster. Let me tell you. So, on October 16th, 1874, a local hunter named Frank Webster vanished near the Hoosick Mountain. Three days later, he was found by a search party stumbling along the banks of the Deerfield River, where he was in a state of shock, mumbling incoherently and falling down. He explained to his rescuers that the strange voices had ordered him into the Hoosick Tunnel, and once he was inside, he saw ghostly figures wandering around. He also said that invisible hands had snatched his hunting rifle away from him and that he was beaten with it. He couldn't remember leaving the tunnel. Members of the search party recalled that Webster did not have his rifle on him when he was found, and cuts and abrasions on his head and body did seem to bear evidence of a beating. Later that same year, with the...
I was going to say, with that, yours was more detailed because I wrote, instead of them like matching up the things, I wrote... Where is it? those who found him said he was missing the rifle and had marks matching his allegations of a ghostly ass whooping. This shit's hella funny. And that they found him by Deerfield River. For those that don't know, that's right next to Doe Dick Down Canal. All right, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I was like, oh, I did write about that guy because I remember the ghostly ass-whooping part.
What about Harlan Mulvaney? You write about him?
Yeah, I did. But you can go ahead and do yours. It's probably more detailed than mine.
Got fucked up. That's what happened to him. Now, in the fall of 1875, a fire tender on the Boston and Maine rail line named Harlan Mulvaney, I don't know, he was taking a wagon load of wood into the tunnel. He had gone for just a short distance inside the shaft when he was suddenly turned. Suddenly turned his team around, whipped the horses, and drove them madly out of the tunnel. A few days later, the workers found the team and the wagon in the forest about 3 miles away from the tunnel. Harlan was never seen from again.
Yeah, I wrote that he was out of that tunnel faster than he could say Dan Schneider sniffed Amanda Bynes' bike seat. Amanda Bynes' bike seat. I can't even say that fast. I think mine was very inappropriate. I did have, where the fuck did it go? Motherfucker. The man who wrote that transcript, Glenn Johan, about Mallory going down in that fucking bucket, also wrote that during the time the miners were missing, villagers told strange tales of vague shapes and muffled wails near the water-filled pit. Workmen claimed to see the lost miners carrying picks and shovels through a shroud of mist and snow on the mountaintop. The ghostly apparitions would appear briefly, then vanish, leaving no footprints in the snow, giving no answer to the miners' call. He also stated that the visits from the dead stopped as soon as everybody was properly buried. This, however, did not stop the voices heard in the pit, which is why everybody keeps saying the pit, yeah, the voices. But all these people still fucking are seeing shit. In June 25th of 1872, Dr. Clifford J. Owens and James R. McKinstry, a drilling operations superintendent, worked their way down the shaft. They traveled about 2 miles down that veiny bad boy with nothing but dim-lit lamps before taking a break. That's when they began to hear painful, mournful moanings. Then what they seen was shocking. Dr. Cliff Huxtable. Fuck! the next thing I saw was a dim light coming along the tunnel in a westerly direction. At first, I believed that it was probably a workman with a lantern. Yet, as the light grew closer, it took on a strange blue color and appeared to change in shape into the form of a human being with no head. That was the end of the quote. But the light moved in touching distance to the two, and it stayed, like, still. And it, like, seemed like it was watching them before it headed off and vanished. I mean, that's kind of fucking creepy, right?
Yeah, that's pretty weird.
And this guy, I guess, was quoted of saying that he's someone that's not, like, basically not very superstitious, none of that shit. Like, he's fucking whatever, but he can't make sense of what he saw that fucking day. That's pretty fucking... it's pretty crazy there.
It's always nice when you get the skeptics to... when something happens.
Yeah, that's a... yeah. This is the one I was talking about before. Joseph Impoco. So I said the name before.
Oh.
Yeah, see, it came back! he was once a railroad employee who worked the Boston and Maine. He not only believes in the hauntings, but has claimed the mountain ghost saved his life on two separate occasions. One instance was when he was scraping ice from the tracks and heard a voice telling him to run, Joe, run. He turned back and seen a train flying at him. So he fucking obviously ducked and dodged that bitch. He also stated that he had seen a man waving and swinging a torch, but only focused his attention to the voice. Which is a weird thing. It's like, I didn't really pay attention to the men, just trying to figure out where the voice came from. So six weeks went by, and old Joe was back at it again on them tracks. He was going to town on some frozen freight cars. It said freight cars. I think I meant to say freight. With a large iron crowbar, because they were frozen to the tracks when he heard a voice once again screaming, Joe, Joe, drop it, Joe. He immediately did so, and it was instantly jolted and thrown against the tunnel wall by over 11,000 volts of electricity. The charge was caused by a short-circuited overhead power line. So that's insane. Apparently the spirit saved him. There was a third incident that he only told his wife, where he was working late one night removing deer carcasses from the tracks before hearing the voice once more shrieking, Joe, Joe, cover your ass, Joe, as he turned around. A transient had his hobo hog out, licking his dried winter lips. He left after that. I made that last one up, obviously. Just thought it was funny. Just get a little fucking thing in there. So he left the job behind, but would still return every so often to the bloody pit to pay respect to his spectral savior. He believed if this wasn't done yearly, he'd be cursed in some way or another. When Joe's wife fell ill, he decided to stay home with her rather than follow up with his ritualistic visits, and she died that October. He believed it was his missed visit that killed her. Doesn't say what exactly he did during these visits, but I believe they were conjugal in nature.
Oh, definitely were.
Yeah.
they found his diary after he passed away, and when he'd go to these visits, he says that he would masturbate in front of the tunnel.
Vigorously. Vigorous and rigorous.
He said he was going to fill that hole one load at a time.
And boy, was he determined. Even to this day, when you drive through it, you can smell the stale, salty air as you go to the end of the tunnel. That shit's gross. Do you ever think, like, you know, they're always finding, like, fossils well-preserved in, like, amber or whatever the fuck? And one of these days, they're going to find, like, a whole fucking, like, Neanderthal woman fucking freshly preserved in semen. A whole woman? How? Well, it was well believed that Neanderthals held all of their jizz in their foreheads. push on it instantly. Yeah, they didn't have prostates. They milk that forehead real good. That's all I had. Do you have anything else to?
Like all your notes, that's it?
Yeah, that was it. That's what I was saying. It wasn't like a lot. I'd say it was like from all those pages, a lot of it wasn't usable shit there. I'm sure you have a lot of stuff I didn't cover.
Well, a nice little fun fact while I get to find my notes. One thing I do know, it remains the longest active transport tunnel east of the Rocky Mountains. So, put that in your cereal bowl and eat it. Let's see. Give me 1 minute.
Once upon a time, there was a tunnel filled with dead men. You, like, found the dick joke. You just say it now and just continue on with something else. That's pretty funny. That's what I'm saying. I mean, I wrote a lot of shit, but
a lot of it wasn't. So do you know our boy who started funding the railroad, what was his name? I just saw it. Give me 1 sec.
I bet they didn't offer any Alba, compensation to those Mr.
Crocker.
Oh yeah, the Crocker guy, yeah.
Yeah, so when he wasn't worrying about his silk business or whatever he was doing, his import business, and when he wasn't chasing fairy godparents, he's the one who backed God, I can't talk right now. He's the one who got the investors and everybody joined up and the plan and people doing the surveys, you know, to get it going. And the plan was to have two crews to start digging from both ends on the mountain between North Adams and the West and meet up in the middle. January 1851, the ground was broken in the tunnels. West portal on the mill town of North Adams side of the mountains. And this was inaugurating Massachusetts' original big dig. But there was a few setbacks that put them back. In the summer of 1852, a boring machine that was supposed to begin gouging out the tunnel's eastern portal in Florida got stuck in the Berkshire bedrock. And nobody could extract it, so the crew had to start over in a new spot with the new drill. And if you know where to look, the original borehole is what they call the false start can be seen in the woods to this day.
First of all, you talk a lot about big digs and drills. I'm starting to think this is leading to something else.
The tunnel's crappy start continued to ensue step backs and ultimately became too expensive for Mr. Crocker, who eventually had to declare bankruptcy. Other investors and engineers attempted to pick it up, but all would ultimately fail. The project was at a standstill until the state of Massachusetts, who saw its potential, took over the project in the August of 1862. And in addition to the state declaring that most of the work was done by botched private investors, basically it all had to be redone, including widening the tunnel, reinforcing it with bricks, and there was a chance that both the crews that were digging on opposite ends, that there's a chance that the crews weren't going to meet up in the middle. And they were just going to miss each other.
Damn. The whole time you were saying that, I'm just thinking of fucking Minecraft. Like two people digging at opposite sides. And it's like one ends up above the other one for some fucking reason. And then just... Where the fuck are you? I see your name. I just don't see what side of the fuck... Or what level you're at in this fucking mountain. That's one of my favorite things to do in that game. Is just dig holes through fucking the hills and mountains of shit. It just comes out the other side. I especially like if there's water, because then you just create a fucking water path down it. Obviously, my character never died from nitroglycerin or anything like that.
So these crews, they were basically progressing about 2 feet a day in the beginning. And yeah, they just, when they got into the rock, they thought it was supposed to be solid, sturdy rock, but it ended up being like porous rock.
Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
Yeah, and the rock layers would buckle into each other, and basically it was making like quicksand that they had to work with constantly, and it was like, and everything was constantly wet, constantly moist, because, you know, it had water dripping through the mountain. So, we didn't talk about any ghost hunters yet, did we?
No, we didn't talk about any ghost hunters.
Okay, so a researcher from Agawam, Massachusetts. I don't know if that's how you say that, but whatever. Through the 1970s and the 1980s, the tunnel began to be investigated by ghost hunters and paranormal groups, who had heard of the long history of the hauntings. In 1976, a researcher from Agawam, Massachusetts, claimed to come face-to-face with one of the local ghosts. He described the figure of a man in old-fashioned work clothing, backlit against a brilliant white light. Could have been the same ghost seen by Owens and McCastry in 1872. Dun-dun-dun.
Like me a good ghost story.
Professor Ali Allmaker.
Professor Ali McBeal.
Might be Ali. A-L-I. Ali.
Oh, A-L-I?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. Ali, Ollie.
Ali, Ollie. Ali, Ollie Maker.
Ali, Ollie. I want to name a kid that now. Ali, Ollie. Ollie, Ollie. Ali, Ollie, Oxen Free.
But, he was a professor and a part-time ghost hunter. He had...
I'm a professor. It's like, I just want to let my class know that you, in order to take this course, you're going to have to buy my book as the professor. But then also, if you want a good read, here's my ghost hunting book, because I'm a part-time ghost hunter. And actually, you can see how my work is inspired by both of my fields of work.
Actually, her name's probably Allie, because it's a girl, so.
Oh, okay. Probably.
But,
we're both said, wrong, and both the things we're thinking is wrong. It's Ally. It's no different than there's a SNL fucking cast member, and her name you think would be Ego because it's E-G-O, but they call her Ego.
Like, oh, my Ego.
Yeah, that's all I can think of. Something like that. I think it's Ego, but it's not Ego, and it's like, goddamn, dude, it's spelled like Ego.
Yeah, but Ali was a part-time ghost hunter, and she had a close encounter in the tunnel. She wrote that she was accompanied into the tunnel by a railroad official in 1984, and while there, she had an uncomfortable sensation of someone standing close to her. She also stated that several students from North Adams State College visited the tunnel one night that she left the tape recorder running in the shaft. They left it there, and when they returned and listened to the tape, they heard what they seemed to be muffled voices, human voices on the tape. Oh, okay.
That's all you're going to hear from a shaft of the tape recorder. And then, ow, sorry. Oh, God, dude, that's hella funny. I mean, not that story. That's crazy. I mean, the voices, that seems to be like a recurring thing. Everybody keeps hearing the voices, the faint voices, the mourning, weeping, pain-voiced people.
This is a cool one. Bernard Hustaba. Hustaba? I don't know. In 1973, Bernard was in the mood for an adventure and decided to walk the entire tunnel. He entered on the North Adams side, but never reemerged. He was never found inside. He was never found at all. He had apparently vanished entirely. Without a trace.
Damn.
Other strange accounts.
Like, I got a hankering for an adventure. I think I'm just going to walk this whole haunted tunnel by myself. I would never do anything like that. I can be super skeptical about anything. Like, literally, hella skeptical. It's like, yeah, bullshit. That place ain't haunted, this and that. But you won't ever catch me going in there by myself. Because I'm not that 100% sure. It's like, it's like, no, I ain't going to find out. Because it's like... 100%
positive? I never 100% guaranteed anything.
That's what it's like, dude, no, that's such bullshit. No, whatever. It's like, you going to go there? Fuck no. You can't pay me enough money to be in there by myself. And it's like, you can't fucking... You can't pay your way out of death. That's something I'm doing. And it's like, last thing I want fucking the news covering is that fucking... It's like, local... local, fucking conspiracy denier of fucking whatever died with his pants around his ankles and his mouth gaping wide in horror. I don't know why my pants would be around my ankles. I just assume any ghost that's going to get me is going to get me by my worst fear, and that is to be dead with a gaped asshole and with shell shock on my face. Because then everybody's going
to
be like...
You're about to get shell shocked.
Oh, man. Why is it my biggest fear that my asshole's gaping? That's not like a fucking anti-gay thing. That's just like, how embarrassing is it to be gaped to death? In a horror at a haunted house with no visible trace of semen.
That's hilarious. So I got a couple more things, but other, like what you were saying, that like similar things would happen, strange winds, wildly apparitions, disembodied voices, both caught on tape recorders and heard in person, odd sights like balls of bluish light and more, railroad workers, apparitions. So currently, like today, directly below the central shaft, a room was blasted out of the mountain rock and became a shanty for track workers and work crews, and inadvertently, it also became a frequent spot for hobos, which earned its name, the, Hoosac Hotel, or sometimes called the Hoosac Hilton. And,
God damn. Which is weird to me, because usually gently under the shaft is usually a pair of balls. So the fact that it's something else, it amazes me. No, that's funny. The Hoosac Hotel or the Hilton. Hoosac, yeah. Hilton. I think I'm going to start calling every time I see like a fucking, like a Motel 6 that's like ridden with tweakers and shit, I'm going to call it the Hoosac Hilton. I'm saying all homeless people are tweakers, but I mean, where we're from. A lot of them are. I should know because they love drugs and they usually know my parents.
But this room is separated by the tracks with a wall of century-old bricks that have a dark, like, thickness to them. And by the age of all the, from all the pollutants from the trains going through the tunnel... The ceilings are made of natural mountain rock that consistently dribbles water. Even with flashlight, the darkness practically runs the light out. You can still make out the ancient, well, not ancient, but the old relics from the back in the day. There's a wooden desk, chair, a dented communications device, control panels. But I guess they're all slimy now and disgusting and probably covered in moss and shit from the dampness. But
what year defines ancient?
I didn't mean to say ancient.
No. I know. I was just thinking about that because he was like, well, maybe not ancient. But I was like, maybe it would be considered ancient. But then I was thinking, what really defines ancient? Does it have to hit like a 1,000-year mark or something? Maybe. Because, I mean, to me, seeing something covered in slime and fucking everything else just fucking beaten down broken is ancient to me. Like, sitting over 100 years seems like it would be ancient, right? But I don't know. Yeah. Maybe what's the what defines ancient on a year mark? Maybe there's nothing. I'm getting too into Wesley details of the fucking thing, because Wesley is a very curious man.
He's gonna
listen to this and be like, "What the fuck does that mean?" I feel like we've said that before.
But there's modern relics in the area now, because you know, people venture in there and hang out and do their what's it. So there's relics like Twisted Tea cans and Slim Jim wrappers.
and small fizz hole marks from the Kyles that used to go in there.
Might find an energy monster can laying on the ground somewhere, you know. there's also some urban legends about bodies wrapped in black trash bags found in that room. They also, other stories tell of the secret rooms built where somewhere in the tunnel and up in the central shaft there'd been a room that's been bricked up. People say these spaces contain some unspeakable horrors that are best left to be undisturbed. But I didn't know this because I didn't hear anything about it, but in early 2020 there was a collapse about 300 feet on the western heading that shut the tunnel down for a few months. So,
damn.
Yeah.
I might be trying to separate the two, but it said that there's even like a murder in there. And I'm wondering if it's just talking about,
let's talk about the guy collapsing.
Collapsing his two buddies in there. Yeah. That's what I figured.
But also, well, either that or
that he was murdered actually a year later. Never mind.
Yeah, so it could have been him.
That's what I was saying. In my head, I was separating the two, but I knew on some level it was that. I was hoping there was another one. Not hoping. Nobody hopes for murder unless it's somebody you don't like. Kevin Spacey. Just
kidding. Oh, yeah, they were Mohawk Indians.
Okay, that's what I thought it was. It's just the thing that I kept
Native
reading.
Native Americans, I should say.
Oh, damn, I didn't even catch that. And what does that say about me?
You're a filthy Indian.
But here we go. You grow up on John Wayne, okay? You just... No, dude, that's insane. So, what's her
name? Like that South Park.
I've heard about it recently, but people have been talking about it a lot.
When they got the casino, they're like, those damn Indians don't care. They're just greedy. Native Americans. Oh, yeah, sorry. Right. Those damn Native Americans are just so greedy.
There was that thing, Little Feather, accepting that award for whatever fucking actor it was. Why can I not remember? I'll have to look it up, but I just seen it recently. But apparently, I mean, I am always slow to fucking new shit.
Yeah, so am I.
Yeah, so anyways, this was a while ago. I mean, not a while ago. Obviously, it was a while ago. Dude, I can't fucking talk. So anyways, something Lil Feather went to fucking accept an award for some actor that I can't remember. And I'm just going to find the article because I'm going to butcher this, and this is actually like really important to real life shit. Sacheen, I don't know, Sacheen, Little Feather. So she, let me find this thing. I'm just going to read it off of this, variety.com. She was 26 years old at the time of the ceremony. And Okay, let me just... Okay, she... Okay, so... This is from Variety.com. Says, whatever. Little Feather dominated headlines this week after the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences issued a formal apology to her for the mistreatment she faced in 1973 at the Oscars. She was 26 years old at the time of the ceremony. She took to the stage on behalf of Marlon Brando, that's who it was, who was named Best Actor for The Godfather, and declined the award for him. So she fucking, she kind of like the messenger type shit. Brando cited Hollywood's problematic portrayal of Native American Indian people in film and television as his reason for rejecting the Oscar. And he had her go and do it because she was Native American. And to mark the news of the Academy's apology, plus an upcoming special crown to be held in her honor. Okay, that part's not important. So she walked up on the Oscar stage and said, I'm, first name I can't pronounce, Little Feather. I'm Marlon Brando's official representative here this evening. Unfortunately, you cannot receive this Academy Award because of the image of Native American Indian people in film and television today. That's when, okay, so, and then this is what I was talking about. She started getting booed and shit by people. And some, I guess, okay, half started cheering. This is what she said, and that's when all the people started getting into commotion in the audience, and I focused in on the mouths and the jaws that were dropping open in the audience, and there were quite a few, but it was like looking into a sea of Clorox. You know, there are very few people of color in the audience. I just took a deep breath, put my head down for a second, and then they quieted down. I continued. But yeah, I brought this up because I said the John Wayne thing. So John Wayne tried, he got mad and tried to fucking like swing on her during the fucking thing. Yeah, and it's like, what the fuck? And then Clint Eastwood fucking made a fucked up joke too about, I don't even remember. I can't remember. Fucking Clint Eastwood did something fucked up, too. She said, John Wayne did not like what I was saying up at the podium, so he came forth in a rage to physically assault and take me off the stage, and he had to be restrained by 6 security men in order for that not to happen. And I just want to say, John Wayne is a pussy. Like, because to me, and I was talking about this recently, too, he always seemed a little flamboyant to me, and I think it's because, like, as a kid, I seen him in a movie where he's wearing this ascot, and I was like, everybody keeps talking about how manly he was. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with being flamboyant or anything like that, but it was like, this man's man looked like he sucked a lot of man's off. Like, that's what it like, seemed. It's like, ain't nobody wear a fucking ascot like that unless it's a fucking cum bib.
does it Matthew?
Matthew, but Matthew's open about his cum bibbing. and it's just the fact that this motherfucker thought it's like the manliest thing to do about whatever. It's like, hey, this is America, whatever.
Why did your friend never hooked up with Daphne?
He's too busy looking at Shaggy's saggy. But no, like this motherfucker was like,
Raggy friend's back.
What does American got to do? I got to bum rush the stage. And it's like, as a true American man, I got to bum rush the stage and try to hit a 26-year-old female Native American because that's the American thing to do. It's just so fucking ridiculous. I laughed at not at the fact that he tried to fucking swing on her like that, like the aggression, but the fact that this motherfucker thought that that was the right thing to fucking do.
Oh, shit.
I thought it was funny. I mean, not the fact that it happened. You know, I already explained it. But anyways, no, I was just thinking of that because we were talking and I made that John Wayne joke. On record, I just want to say John Wayne's a bitch.
Sorry, I knocked my mic stand over.
Do we have something else for the fucking thing before I rudely interrupted with my half-assed reading of... Variety.com or whatever I said prior.
Yeah, so I guess the locals today, they still claim that there's apparitions, eerie voices, weird feelings whenever you're around the tunnel. It's actually, I guess it's illegal to go down to the tunnel.
Oh, right. Is it?
It's still an active tunnel, and there's trains going through it throughout the day. So, I mean, you're not supposed to be in there regardless, but people go in there anyway. And but I guess I was reading on Reddit too. There's some locals. They're pretty into it, so it's pretty cool.
It's insane to think about a tunnel that took over 20 years to fucking dig out. I think I read that somewhere it said it was 24 years exactly, but I wasn't sure if that was true, so I just kept saying over 20 years because I only read it one time.
Yeah, I think it said like 20. I think I saw 25 years. I think
25. It's, yeah, see, that's why I just said over 20 because I only seen that number once. That's insane, though. They just fucking kept digging away. It's like, this tunnel's coming. It's on its way. Pretty soon, you ain't got to go all the way around. You can just go straight through, my guys.
Can you imagine, like, one of the tunnel workers? Like, he just had a rough day. He comes home, and he's on the brink of beating his wife. He's drinking his whiskey. And she's just pissing him off. You're never gonna be anything, Joseph. You piece of shit. And that's why that tunnel's not getting done. Bitch, we are making progress.
Our kids will be grown, and it's like, we are making progress. We are 3/4 the way through that bitch. And how many years did that take? All right, who? Don't blow up on her. Don't. He blows up the next day. You know them rich motherfuckers didn't give any compensation to those fucking families that were ruined after those fucking people died and the gruesome way that they had to bury the people they cared about. And it's like, tough break. They knew what they were signing up for. OSHA ain't a thing yet. Do they have work conditions?
Yeah, that's why like over 200 people died.
Yeah, that's fucking insane. One of the most gruesome, what was it? Like, here's some, one of the most notable ones was, like, what, those 13 people died, and I can't remember what it was now.
What, with the central, with the...
Yeah.
The bucket?
The one... I think so. I think that's... I can't remember right now.
I was just thinking of, like, what we were talking about earlier, the guy sitting in the bucket with just his ass and everything just hanging out.
Go slow. Steady. That's why I was laughing so hard because I was like, it has to be a big ass bucket because when I read the fucking death things where somebody died from a descending bucket, I was thinking a little ass bucket and somebody's like, heads up. Somebody just fucking dies. In the background, they just continue fucking digging. Like, it's up. But no, it's more like a fucking, after you showed me that picture, it's like, damn, that's more like that fucking thing probably came down with like 5 dudes in it and all they heard was a crunch and someone was dead. They were just like, this is fun, it's just like an elevator. Wee! Wilson, Oren, where are you at? Oh, wait, no, Wilson was the guy that died from the elevator. It was James Millett that died from the descending bucket. And I have to go and tell his wife and probably, like, fucking 13 children because you know how shit was back then. It's like your husband, like how the military people show up with their hats and they put it on their chest and somebody with, like, a modern-day construction hat, because that's the way I'm going to say it, they put it to their chest on their fucking yellow lighted-up vest. And just like... Your son fell. Your husband died in the line of duty. He died protecting his country? No, he died because he didn't line up right. He was underneath the descending bucket.
He didn't move, I don't know.
He didn't hear that shit whistling, and the fact that there's a single fucking tunnel that it goes down from. It only descends one fucking way. It doesn't just randomly pop out of the fucking sky.
You have to run through two ropes to get into that area.
this bucket wasn't swinging like a pendulum. It was going straight down. It was just one rope line going. I don't know why he was under the bucket spot. I don't know. Was there problems going on at home? It seemed like he wanted to be bucketed to death. And nobody, it's like on his thing. Like you have DOA and all this other shit, and his was DBB. It was Die by Bucket.
He lived as he died by the bucket.
By the bucket. God damn, dude. Yeah, because if that thing was descending, chances were they were either lifting people. That could have been a thing. They're all getting excited. The day's over and they're getting ready to go home. And he fucking stepped two fucking far into the bucket lifting zone. And they're getting ready. Oh, can't wait to go home by bucket. Like, he's just going to get out of this hole. This motherfucker's so excited. It's like, dude, I'm about to quit, man. This is my last day. I got enough money to pay off my house. And it just drops. That cartoon noise, and he just looks up and his human ears go down like the Wile E. Coyotes do. He knows he's about to get squished.
Hold his side up, this is help.
What? Yeah,
I think that's when the animaniacs come busting out the bottom of the bucket.
It's Animaniacs. That bucket dropped and it said Acme on the side of it.
God damn it. This is supposed to go to the Acme warehouse. Who swapped it?
Who swapped it? This wasn't supposed to be here. This is for a running gag with cartoon characters.
Oh, God. This shit's hella funny. This sucks for that guy, but got some good jokes out of it.
Yeah.
And for that, we thank you.